Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 1 for our text. It's short, it's pithy, it's to the point. He being often reproved, hardening his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. You know, if you look at the Proverbs, I think that there's no part of the Holy Writ which is richer in practical instruction, everyday life and living, than that of the proverb. We look at this book and we see that it treads both the depth and the width, depth and the width of our practical duty as we walk before God and try to honor Him. In these proverbs, we find caution against behavior. It lists the awful consequences of many sin. And it sets forth a threat to those who walk in a way contrary unto the Scripture. And something else we notice is that Proverbs especially addresses the youth as you read through it. How often it speaks directly to the mind and the action of such as are yet young in life, instructing them about the benefits of a particular behavior, cautioning them against various pitfalls that they might avoid them and also the consequences thereof. So Proverbs is very practical and very instructional. Now, in our text, we have what some has called an ethical proverb, general in its nature as we look at it. That is, it treats in a certain way from an ethical standpoint or ethical behavior. And in general, in that, it is applicable to anyone who is walking after this manner of life, who behave in a way that is described by this particular verse of the Scripture. We'll find something else. That very often a proverb will set forth a contrast of one sort or another. The ways of the wicked contrasted from the way of the righteous, or the moral quality compared with that of immoral righteousness and unethical living. Now, one of the proverbs, some of them concentrate strictly upon things done by one person or by one sort of a person. And we see that in a couple of aspects in Proverbs. Number one, what they are guilty of here in our text, and that is being stiff-necked, those that are described in our text. They are accused of resisting correction and reproof. They refuse instruction, even though it is based upon the Word of God, and even if it is right. And secondly, their faith, which is expressed from a twofold standpoint here in verse 1 of chapter 29. A, they shall be destroyed, they shall be cut off, they shall be brought to a quick and bad end. And B, the terribleness of that consequence and spiritual state in that it is without remedy. They shall suddenly be destroyed, and that is without remedy. We might see it with no healing in some versions or margin. Now, the subject of the verse is set forth in the first word. He, that is the individual, the man, the person, whoever he or she might be. That man, that person, whatsoever person it be, not everyone without exception, but he that acts in the way that is described in this verse of Scripture. He is applicable to three things that are stated here in the verse. Number one, he being reproved. He has heard reproof and is reproved. Secondly, he being often reproved, needing them often, receiving them often. And then three, he that being often reproved, yet hardens his neck and stiffens his heart, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. So that it is general. He, she, they, them, whosoever continues unrepentant in this manner will meet a dreadful end. So let's look a little bit closer at this sort of individual that we might see the nature of their sin, that it is to be visited upon with severe judgment. His sin is he hardeneth his neck. It is aggravated by the fact that he has been duly warned and often warned, being often reproved, once and again, time after time, in many ways, from several sources, perhaps from parents, from ministers, from magistrate, from the conscience within, by spiritual judgments from God, or whatever they might have been, being often reproved, having been chastened. You may notice an alternate reading in the margin. Let's look at it just a moment. A man of reproof, we see, in the margin of some of the version. Now, this has caused some of the expositors who have tried to open up the proverb to understand this to be describing a particular person as the one giving the reproach, that is, a man of reproaches. This would be a censorious person if this were the meaning. A reprehender, someone has called him, who though a rebuker and a censurer and the world's greatest critic and an apprehender, a straightener out of everyone else that is around them, will therefore himself not be corrected by the word of God. The latter is usually right. For example, a person who is always rebuking others will seldom endure a rebuke themselves. A person who tells others what to do will seldom receive instruction from another. A person who views himself as being right will not be told that they are wrong. And a person who has appointed themselves the critic of the world will not be criticized in return. We find a lot of time that the most vocal and critical of person do resist any criticism or exhortation or rebuke that is directed in their direction. One described a person as one who lets nothing be said to him and nothing be shown to him but what contradicts all and everyone. That is, always answering back no matter the correction. But it is more in keeping, I think, with the latter part of the verse to understand this of a person who, in spite of repeated reproof, hardens him or herself against such correction. He hath received many admonition. They've heard many warning. They have often been corrected and rebuffed and rebuked, but it is not cured of stubborn self-will. It remains yet. In spite of reproof, in spite of instruction, he hardens his neck against it and will not receive it. In reading Gill, I like his comment. He said, I'm quoting, "The metaphor is taken from an oxen which kicks and tosses about and will not suffer the yoke to be put upon their necks," unquote. It pictures, therefore, an untamed ox, as it were, tossing and fighting the yoke, wild and intractable. For sinners, you see, in the Bible, are actually likened in Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 18 to a bullock unaccustomed unto the yoke. One who rejects and despises the harness that puts him in restriction and guides him in the way of another. Now, the idea is stiff-necked here, as it is. One who bows the neck against and upon the yoke of God. One who tosses his head that he might resist the yoke or the bridle. Who is stiff-necked so as to continue in a way of self-will. And that's what it's all about. one who is obstinate against authority, resisting and despising the halter that leads them about and that guides them and that restricts them. Some places, I think, in the scripture, it means hard in neck. Those that are hard in neck. Stiff neck. I'll say it again. Obdurate and recalcitrant. Stephen uses the word in Acts chapter 7 and verse 51. Ye stiff-necked, he said, and uncircumcised in heart. How often was this applied to the Jew under the old economy? In Exodus 32 and verse 9, the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Exodus chapter 33 and verse 3, for thou art a stiff-necked people. In Exodus 34 and verse 9, it is a stiff-necked people, God said in describing Israel. You'll see that again in so many places we'll not read, but like Deuteronomy 9:6, 9:13, 10:16, and on, God charging them as having a stiff neck. Now the question is, have the reproofs made his neck stiff? Is that what has brought him to be stiff-necked, or is it his abstaining the cause of the stiffness of the neck? The obstinance with which he approaches the things of God and the correction and the instruction of they that are wiser than himself. Now we can safely say that this is a sure testimony to the inveterate depravity of man. Without the special grace of God, how stiff-necked we are, how hard-hearted, how self-willed we are, we want our way and our way only. And such stubbornness is born in the nursery. It is not learned later in life. It is born in the nursery. Such hard-headedness often appears very early in the life of an individual, and sometimes the neck becomes stiffer and stiffer as they put on their age if it is not rooted out by the grace of God and the Word of God, either naturally or spiritually. This must be rooted out of the heart, for we are all self-willed by nature. So says Solomon, the heart of a child is entangled with iniquity. Now, such reproofs, therefore, ought to begin early as the manifestation of the obdurate behavior and resistance. That is why I think Lamentation chapter 3 and verse 27, it is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. For once he is grown, he is hard-hearted and set and settled. Submit to oversight. Yield to authority. Be obedient to parents and those that have authority. But alas, we read again in Proverbs 15 and 5, a fool despises a father's instruction. Proverbs 13 and 18, poverty and shame shall be to him that refuses instruction. Those who are so self-willed as to not to hear any correction. That is, a fool brings themselves to misery and to destruction by stopping their ear against any correction and rebuke, like the deaf adder that we read about in the Holy Scripture. Only the wise one, Proverbs 1 and verse 5, will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. But let us note the next statement in our verse today. Such a person shall suddenly be destroyed. You have a similar statement in Proverbs 6, verse 15. His calamity will come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken when God sends his judgment. Such destruction will be swift and will be sudden. Suddenly shall be broken. Like a potter's vessel, if we might think of that in the scripture. Broken by the iron rod that is able to dash it to pieces where it can never be put back together again, dashed without a remedy. Not only will such destruction be sudden, such security will be taken away, but then it shall be without remedy. Almost legions are the example of these truths to be found in the scripture. The old world of Noah's day, eating, drinking, marrying, doing what they want, taking their pleasure, going about their life, but the flood came and destroyed them all. How about Pharaoh, often reproved by Moses, pelted with judgment after judgment from Almighty God, and yet his heart hardened, and he was suddenly destroyed, overthrown, and drowned in the Red Sea. Consider Ahab, king, often reproved by the prophet of God. Oh, how he chafed at the words of the prophet of God. He hardened his heart. He sold himself to work evil in the sight of the Lord, yet suddenly was destroyed, as we mentioned in a sermon last Sunday. Now, time would fail us to speak individually of the sons of Aaron, the sons of Eli, Ananias, Sapphira, Herod, and immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, and of Asa, of Saul, King Saul, of Haman, hanged on his own gallows, of Absalom, of Abimelech, on and on. There are examples in the scripture of the judgment of God. Suddenly destroyed in the midst of their endeavor, taken in death. Many of them horrible deaths they were. They were divine judgment visited upon them. For you see, though God is long suffering, he suffereth long. He allows much to pass through his forbearance. And yet, divine patience does have its limits or have its end. When divine patience, like the sand in the hourglass, has run out, then God shoots his deadly arrows, and how deadly they are. When death and destruction come so suddenly, it catches the wicked unprepared, often taking them in their very acts of sin and disobedience. No time to reform, no time to repent, no time to seek God or to hear the gospel remedy, for no time to consider the heed of the reproofs that have gone by them in the past. Maybe when the least expected, when they feel secure in what and who and where they are. It caught Herod sitting on his throne in his royal robe. It caught Ahab in the thick and the commotion of battle that an arrow did pierce him. It caught Aaron's sons at the altar when fire came out and destroyed them. Pharaoh leading the charge of his soldiers after the children of Israel, yet how suddenly cast down in the sea. Be not deceived, they that are young. Youth is no guaranteed immunity from the grim reaper. Every day, hundreds and hundreds of young meet their death in the world. Every day, many who go forth in the morning do not come back at night. They have been seized, and that suddenly and by death. But now, for the last awful thing that is said of them in this passage of the scripture, that without remedy. Their sudden destruction will come without remedy. Proverbs 6 and verse 15, broken without remedy. Some say the expression without remedy is, and no healing. No healing whatsoever for their state or their condition. No cure, no antidote, nothing that any can or will do to reverse their coming and impending meeting of the judgment of God and the sad condition. As the tree falls, so shall it lay, saith the scripture. No recovery from their immediate or from their miserable estate. Their condition, therefore, fixed forever and forever. In looking at the Geneva Bible, I saw that it rendered it this way: shall suddenly be destroyed and cannot be cured. That is one of the versions of the Geneva Bible. Cannot be cured. Let me illustrate this by the rich man in Luke chapter 16. He died in his sin and he opened his eyes, the scripture said, in torment. And Christ gives us a glimpse over into that world. It illustrates that there is no remedy. Dives was in misery. Remember, he prayed for so much as a drop of water to be put upon his tongue. It was refused. God refused. Nothing was done to ease his misery or his torment. Nothing was to ever be done to remedy the case. A great gulf was fixed between he and Abraham, between the wicked and between the righteous. And none could pass between the one and the other in that parable. Psalms 9 verse 17 said, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." We live in a generation who practically denies eternal punishment. In many of the churches, you won't hear a word about it. But a passage from Solomon in Proverbs chapter 5, and I would like to turn there just for the sake of verse 12 and verse 13. That'd be Proverbs, the 5th chapter, verse 12 and verse 13. "And say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teacher, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me." What an awful, awful situation. What our text said, "He that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck will meet a doom that has no remedy." Be not deceived, dear friend. God is not mocked. Whatsoever one soweth, that shall they also reap. They have no blood to cover their sin. They have no mediator to plead their case. They have no advocate to intercede for them. And their case, therefore, is without remedy. And how sad. And death puts the finality upon that, seals them up in a state from which they can never escape, for which there is no remedy, and from which none can rescue them, the wicked suddenly destroyed, and that without remedy. Now, two or three practical applications, and we're done. Number one, think what misery some have heaped upon their head because they refused correction and instruction. How miserable have they made themselves? They may cry, "Oh, if I had only listened. If I had only done it different." What heartache. What endless trouble. All for refusing to hear correction, instruction, and in righteousness. And secondly, I'll say it again, God is not mocked. If one lived in sin, he would treat you as a sinner in the hour of death. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And then I'll say this in closing. Thirdly, the most profitable reproofs are not upon the psychologist's couch, but in the scripture, the word of God. The most profitable direction, the most profitable instruction, the most profitable learning is to be found in the scripture, in the word of God. And that's why in Proverbs it said, "Hear, O young man, wisdom as she speaks." Wisdom speaking unto the young. Remember our text. "He that being often reproved and hardeneth his heart shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. I think it was Jonathan Edwards said, "Be not concerned that the destroyer is not in sight, for God hath many arrows in his quiver." Many ways, many arrows.